Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Cringe Binge podcast. Now, this is the first episode where I have a guest on with me talking about their teenage years. Joining me on today's podcast is Mairead Rowland. Now, Mairead and I go way back. I was asking myself, when did I first meet Mairead? And I remembered it was when she was working as a producer on the Ray Darcy show years ago when it used to be on Today FM. And they did a segment on the show about teenage diaries and asked listeners if anyone had anything cringy they had written as a teen and if they could send it in. So, no better woman. Of course, I got in touch and I sent in some poetry that I wrote in school. And Mairead invited me into the studio and I went on air and read this. It's a poem I wrote called Mispa, and I've written it phonetically in this accent. Mispa. I was looking in the mirror, and what did I see? A huge red pussy pimple staring back at me. To the bathroom cabinet, quickly I fled, and out with the concealer to hide me extra head. I smeared it on, I rubbed it in, but it did no good. Should have known that bag of chips had had me pulling up me hood. You couldn't see it from far back, but when you got up close, its shape and colour made it look like a turkey roast. I could see it when I crossed me eyes, right in the end of me nose. I mistook it for a strawberry wool, eating me Cadbury's rose. Oh, to think of myself going out tonight, looking like a right fool. I'll have to slap on a bandage and just act really cool. There was another poem I read along with that. It was very dramatic and it was called An Ode to Eric Cantona. And I remember a listener texted in to Ray Darcy and said that they wanted to get it tattooed on their back. Hilarious. So my guest this week is Mairead Rowland. I suppose Ireland first fell in love with Mairead when she was a producer on the Ray Darcy show, and we used to hear her lovely warm voice coming on air and having the chats every day. And I guess as a nation listening to the radio, we felt like we knew Mairead. We heard her every day and she was one of our pals. Mairead went on to become an incredibly successful TV presenter, presenting Ireland's Fittest Family, Getaways and Celebrity Banished Door. When I think of Mairead, the first thing I think of is her amazing hair, because she hands down has the best hair in the entire country. And that could be something to do with her entrepreneurial business, Faro, as Mairead has a very successful line of hairstyling brushes and products. So go on the Faro brushes, faro.ie, check it out. When it came to publishing my autobiography, Flabyrinth, and I needed some celebrity endorsements for the front cover, Mairead kindly gave me one and she said, laughed out loud, been close to tears, I'd give it 5-star bars. Thanks, Mairead. So Mairead is the 2019 winner of Dancing with the Stars, where she glided across the dance floor and further into our hearts, and was a very worthy winner of the coveted Glitter Ball Trophy. She is so hot right now, and I'm very grateful that she took time out to record this podcast and revisit her teenage years. We do mention a couple of photos in the podcast, and if you want to see the images, they're up on my Instagram in the highlights. My Instagram is JulesCallPics. Okay, here we go. Yeah.
welcome to the podcast, Mairead Ronan.
Okay.
I'm so excited for you to be here and to be my first guest because you gave me a quote for the front of my book, Flabyrinth. And it was such an amazing celebrity quote to have to, you know, endorse the book. And when I invited you on this podcast and got you to think back to your teenage years, what sort of feelings came flooding back to you?
I immediately thought of my happy teenage years. I was a really, really happy kid, brought up in Finglas, north side of Dublin. And Finglas to me, it's a strange one. It had a bad name that I never knew about until I left school and went to college, you know, and I was saying, hey, I'm from Finglas. People go, oh, you're from Finglas. And I'm like, yeah, why? What's wrong with that? Yeah. Or when I, you know, started socializing more in Dublin city centre and people would say, what school did you go to? And I'm like, St. Michael's, Holy Faith Convent, you know. And they were like, but that's a boys' school. St. Michael's is a boys' school. They were always talking about, you know, the fancy school. So I it was a whole other world. I kind of lived a lovely sheltered world in Finglas. I had brilliant friends, brilliant school, great home. And we socialized there right up until we were about 19. We kind of didn't leave Finglas till we were 19. So, it was just a really happy place for me. Yeah.
So let's talk about what you looked like.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I think of you now, the first thing I think of, amazing hair. I always just think, associate you with hair goals. Absolutely incredible hair. What was your hair like in the 90s?
Desperate. I had desperate hair. So my hair was like a blur color. Do you know one of those colours that's not anything at all? Mm-hmm. So at 16, I asked my mum, can I get highlights? Mm-hmm. And it was the old fashioned highlights where they put like a swimming cap on your head, basically, and pulled them through.
Oh.
What was I thinking? Oh, it was awful. So after that, my hair was really, really bad. But I have really frizzy hair. And look, this is a really frizzy haired photo. That's a general.
That is not you.
That's me. That is me aged 14, maybe 15 even. Yeah.
Definitely so. Hadn't plucked your eyebrows at this stage.
No, the eyebrows were left alone then.
Okay, so this is your...
They're nearly back in fashion, those brows.
So, yeah, that's true. So it's a sort of a nondescript colour hair.
Yeah.
And back in the 90s, we had, you know, wash and go, Head and Shoulders.
Yeah.
We didn't have the hot tools we have now. We didn't have the products at all. So no wonder you were a frizzball. We all wanted to be... Do you remember the Rachel from Friends
hair? The silky hair. Yeah, I didn't. And that was my friend Imelda. She had the silky hair. She could wash her hair and let it dry itself.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could dry itself.
So like as appearance-wise, how conscious were you about your appearance during your teenage years?
I knew I wasn't very pretty. And I was absolutely fine with that. I know that sounds really sad, but there was lots of quite pretty girls that I palled around with. But I was kind of still confident enough in myself that I got on with everyone from the boys we hung out with. I had loads of friends. I got on with everyone in my class and I got on with my teachers. So I was, you know, it was, yeah, I was just still happy and confident in myself. And, yeah, I didn't pay too much attention about my looks. And I wouldn't mind my two older sisters, which I call my much older sisters. They love when I call them that. They're very glamorous. So the age gap will be 12 years and 10 years. So, you know, there's a huge gap between us in age, but they were super glamorous. So worked in Dublin Airport. Cool scarf with their uniforms, all the Christian Dior makeup that a face could take. You know, it was all of that. But I was 14, 15. So, you know, that didn't matter to me. But I was happy. I mean, I was quite a tomboy, actually. I was in the Scouts. I wore like a lot of baseball caps, Man United jerseys, Chicago Bulls hoodies.
Awesome,
I know. So, yeah, but we had a lovely bunch of friends of boys and girls, so it was all okay.
So who is the blonde bombshell in that photograph have there?
Isn't
we're talking red, slinky,
backless.
Satin dress, backless,
yeah,
blonde hair, incredible makeup, the whole lot, a sultry look and everything.
It's bizarre.
When did this happen?
So I'm 14 in this one, mm-hmm. and I'm about 18 or 19 in that one. So
how did this happen?
I found my sister's Christian Dior makeup, obviously, from the airport. That outfit has belonged to my sister. She'd bought that away and I dyed my hair blonde, like, look at all the blonde.
What caused the shift in your life when this happened?
I don't know. The shift happened when I was about 17. I went from being this to...
We call this the gank stage.
The gank stage, yeah. Total gank mm-hmm. stage. And at 17, I think I was... I became more confident in myself. I started to wear makeup. I obviously plucked my eyebrows. I mean, that's pretty obvious. And yeah, I dyed my hair. I was working as well as being in school. Mm-hmm. So I had my own bit of money. Yeah.
And you just blossomed.
I just started. I went from being a tomboy to a girl, and I became interested in boys and and all things girly. So, and that shift just happened. And the brilliant thing about it for me is my mom let me. She, you know, my mom was older having me. She was 40, nearly 41 having me. At the time, she said she was ancient in the rotunda. Now it's really normal. Yeah. But at the time, she said, oh my God, I was like the granny. They all thought she was like in to see her grandchild. But she let me. I remember one Christmas, you know, my sister's going mad because we were going to mass. They were like, the state of her mom, she looks so awful. She can't come to mass with us looking like that. Because they were like Pippa and Kate Middleton. Like they had, you know, beautiful outfits and hats. I don't know where they thought they were going to Royal Ascot. They were going to mass on Christmas Day. But I went in the Chicago Bulls hoodie that was brand new, you know, labels pulled off that morning, some kind of skanky jeans, Nike runners, possibly with a bubble in them, I don't know. And I thought, amazing. Coolest kid at mass was me.
That's what it sounds like to me. Yeah, that's epitome of 90s.
But my mom was like, leave her alone. This is a phase. Leave her alone. Incredible. And she was like, shut up, the pair of you. Leave Mairead alone. And all those Christmas photos now, and I look at them, I go, oh no, they're so gorgeous. And my mom looks so glamorous. And I don't know what I look like, you know.
You were the coolest.
I was the cool one. But she always just let me be. And I'm doing that with my kids now. Just leave them be what they are. It's a phase. They come in of it. They come out of it. And yeah, it's nice that she did that.
Yeah, because those teenage years can be quite intense.
Yeah.
You know, where you're discovering who you are and trying to figure yourself out.
Yeah, totally.
And there's huge waves of fashion that we go through and everything that are the influences of the time. Mm. But it's, yeah, a very intense period in our life. What were you like in school?
I was very average, kind of like my looks, very average in school, but I was, you know, I hate using that quote. I was a good girl, you know, I was never trouble in school, and that's kind of stayed with me forever. I don't like being in trouble. Mm-hmm. So I was
a prefect?
Never a prefect. And I spoke to my school about this the other day when I returned with the Glitterball Trophy.
Woo!
I did say, I was still a bit sore about that because my closest friend, well, there was four of us in the gang. So there's myself, Jenny Land, Lisa Hubbard and Mel Donnelly, and Jenny was head girl. So we hung out with the head girl. So we just presumed that by default we would, and by association, we would all be prefects, but only Lisa became a prefect. So myself and Imelda's the one with the beautiful silky hair. We were devastated that we weren't prefects, but we got on so well in school. It was a great school. And the focus, obviously it was on, you know, you're studying, your homework, all of that. But it wasn't totally results driven. And I could be wrong, but I just think now that's gone. It's all about points and getting more points. And I got a card, which I was looking forward to show you, but from Mr. McElroy, who was just such an amazing teacher. Oh, he's still there. And anyone who had him was so lucky. But he sent me a card the week of the Leaving Cert and said, and I cried reading it. And it said, no exam result can take away from you what you already have. And that's a lovely personality.
Stop.
So he knew I wasn't going to get 600 points.
Oh.
And also, when I read it that day, I was saying, he knows I'm going to be fine. Mm. You know, and my parents knew I was going to be fine. So I did a very average Leaving Cert. I did get into a degree course, which I hated. But it's, I think I was... It sounds like I was kind of neglected. I wasn't at all. But I was left be me.
Did you know what you wanted to be?
I did talk about wanting to work in radio.
Wow.
And an Irish teacher. It was very early in school, possibly second year. It was a discussion on what would you like to be. And there was all different types of things being thrown about the room. And I said, I'd really like to work in radio. And I could never do my homework unless the radio was on. So, you know, people need silence. Mm. I couldn't have that. I had to have the radio on. Most nights I did my homework, listening to Tony Fenton, Hotline Hit List. I rang a few times. Like, so I used to That was my company. Maybe that's probably why I didn't do so well with all that background noise, singing while doing my maths. But I loved that. I absolutely loved radio. And I remember saying that in class, and Miss Geary, she's no longer with us now, she said, "Sure, your Irish isn't good enough. You'll never get a job in radio." And I was like, oh, that's a pity. But all the radio I listen to, they don't speak Irish, so I think I'll be okay. So that was there. It was there from a young age. But I suppose when you're from a working class area in Dublin and it was the 90s, you know, it was more about just getting out and getting a job. Mm-hmm. That was just parked. And also said, we don't know anyone in radio. We've no one to help you out. Nobody will be able to, you know, get you in the door. And, you know, you do sometimes need that. But I didn't have that. So I ended up doing loads of different things before I ended up saying, no, I'm going to go give this whole radio thing a go.
Okay. So you brought along your Spice Girls diary.
Yes, right? My Spice Girls diary.
This is one of the most glorious things I have ever seen. It's because beautiful. There is, what does it say, 1998?
1998, but it definitely started in 97. So I think it's a mix of both years,
so
maybe?
So what, roughly no, what age are you around then?
I am 17.
Okay.
So, it starts the September 97. And it's... you know, look, there's the first day I started college, the 29th of September, 1997. I was really young. I wasn't long 17. And I have started college in NCIR today. Okay. There you go.
So it's one of these diaries that is designed, you write one thing.
One line.
One line per day.
One line per day. That's all it is. Okay. And I mean, a lot of it is just around boys.
Okay.
You know, that's the whole thing. And my social life, there's not a mention of assignments due, studying. But what is beautiful is inside is this little note, which my dad wrote the morning of my leaving cert. And so 7th of June, 1997. And just to wish you good luck today, just do your best, Dad. Two kisses. P.S. Bring a drink with you. I don't think he meant a beer. I think he meant a bottle of water or something. Because I kept saying, I don't think you're allowed to have a drink with you. No, you are. You definitely bring a drink with you.
What's on the back of that note?
On the back of that note then is, oh yeah, because it's a telephone message when everyone had the landline. And it's lovely. I mean, I only found this last night. It's to my sister, Olga. Olivia rang. And it's in my mom's handwriting, which is lovely to have. Oh. Yeah, because you know...
The old telephone notes. Do you remember the transition that we went through during the 90s of when we went from little or no technology to the birth of the internet and having a mobile phone?
Oh yeah, totally do. I mean, again, like friends and boys used to have to phone the house phone in the hall. And I remember waiting and waiting on a phone call from a guy. And, you know, every time the phone rang, you know, you'd be leapin' off the couch to. And then, like, we didn't have one of those long wires. You'd have to sit in the hall and you'd be kind of whispery. But, then to get a phone, like your own mobile phone, was just, it's amazing.
Like Snake and text message and communicate in ways that we had never communicated before.
I know, it was amazing. Mm. It was brilliant. Loved it.
Tell me about crushes and boys and you know those hormones that flood in your early teens where suddenly boys going from, you know, just something that's just around to all of a sudden an intrigue.
Yeah. Well, mine probably started a little earlier. I was definitely 12 when I, you know, and I'll use this term loosely, I completely fell in love with a guy who lived in the same area as me, and he... I won't say he ruined my teenage years, because he didn't. He was always there, and I always, always loved him. Always. And he just didn't...
From afar?
I mean, like, you know, I really wanted to find my Beverly Hills 90210 diary, because that entire diary would mention, you know, saw Gareth today, he said hi.
Oh, stop.
That would be an entire day or a weekend entry.
What was it about him that you loved so much?
He was so gorgeous. Okay. And he still is very handsome. He's a very handsome man now. But he was just so beautiful, and he had a gorgeous smile. He looked like Tom Cruise, but he was really tall. Like, and he was tall for his age. And he's a tall Tom Cruise, without kind of the weirdy stuff that Tom Cruise has. But he's... Yeah, he was just really nice. He was just, he was a nice boy.
And so you knew him, you were friends with him?
Kind of friends with him. Like, would have become friends with him later on, like, you know, 17, 18, 19, funnily enough. Became friends with him then.
Did you ever get to kiss him?
Once.
How did that happen?
And it's mad because it was just like, oh yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't all your teenage fantasies come true?
No. It's, and do you know what it is? It's kind of like, one of my favorite films of all time is Gone with the Wind. So old, like it's from the 30s. But that, it's that whole message of like, she spent her whole life, you know, her whole adult life pining after this one person. And then she actually realized, oh no, it was just this thing that she thought she loved, but she didn't. So I was a teenager. It's not my whole life. And then when I got to kiss him, I was like, oh yeah. No, he is still lovely, but no.
So all those great expectations can only lead to disappointment.
I know. Mm.
Do you remember your first kiss?
I do. And I think for everyone, it's awful. It's just terrible. I mean, it's so awful. You're like, why do people like kissing?
What was awful about yours? Is this another case of, because I was the same. Is it great expectations?
Great expectations.
It's going to be like Hollywood and then you go, is that it?
Yeah, that was horrible.
Is it because we didn't know what we were doing?
I think so. Like, I didn't, he didn't. And then there was that kind of pressure, you know, to get your first kiss out of the way. You know, you want to, you know, I would have felt like, oh, everyone else has kissed someone and I haven't kissed anyone. But it was awful. But I've tended my entire life to go for nice guys. I suppose that's, I was, you know, people are attracted to like the bad boy. Mm-hmm. They never interested me ever really.
You just wanted to, and was it a goody two shoes guy that you wanted or just a nice, decent fella?
Not a goody two shoes. And I sometimes think that sounds kind of negative, but like why be with an asshole? Mm-hmm. So even when I was 14, I just couldn't understand why my friends were, you know, attracted to, you know, complete douche who was paying them no attention or being mean to them, or I didn't get that. So my first kiss was a nice guy. My second kiss was a nice guy. My first boyfriend was definitely a really, really nice guy. I'm not going to say I've always gone for nice guys, but I would definitely be more attracted to that type of person.
So when it came to teen discos and, you know, tap on the shoulder, yeah, we're going to shave me friend and all, were you involved in all that sort of kissing or did you know the people beforehand?
I would have always known the people beforehand. Again, like everyone in Finglas knew everyone else and there was only like, you know, kind of two discos that you would have gone to. So, and we were lucky, we were in a group of a couple of lads as well. So I didn't really do that. The first time that would have been, you know, the junior cert night. Mm. Would have been that. And I didn't like it. I didn't like that at all. Just as like, it's intimate with somebody who's a stranger.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. So one of the big things in teenage years that teens often experience is peer pressure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the peer pressure to drink and stuff. Was that something in your teen years?
Peer pressure was definitely there. But I go back to this thing of me, I had this weird inner confidence that, you know, I never felt I ever had to do anything. Like, I've never, ever, ever smoked, never done drugs. I definitely did drink. I still do and I love to. And there were times where I definitely got messy drunk as a teen, but a later teen, not really early teens. I just didn't want to. And my friends were fine with that. You know, I had a good bunch of girlfriends and they were all friends.
And obviously this inner kind of wisdom, do you think that's just part of your personality or was that something that was kind of instilled in you?
I think it's both. I think it might be just in me. And I think another part of it was my mother. Mm. My mother is a really, really strong person. And I always thought she was kind of a woman before her time. You know, if she was young woman now, she'd do amazing and great things. But she mothered me in a way that she was definitely strict, but she was also very, very much a friend. And sometimes she was more of a sister to me than my older sister was. Like my older sister was sometimes trying to be my mother. But my mom did kind of mother me in that way, and all about kind of being able to say no to something and never ever being afraid to tell her. I mean, I remember coming home one day telling her, you know, this girl in fifth year was pregnant. And I was really nervy about telling my mom that, because just because I knew the girl, mm-hmm. you know, so I was thinking, no, my mom's going to be thinking I'm out on sex as well. I'm not. So, you know, I was there, mom, can I tell you something? And she was like, yeah, what? And I told her, and she said, okay. And you know, what's wrong? She's not dying. Mm. That was the first thing my mom said.
Wow.
I just thought,
and in those days, that was a huge
this was
thing
like
to say, something
probably
like
1996 or something, you know. So it's not quite awful, mm-hmm. but I remember it was still a huge big deal. Ooh. And that was the first thing my mother said. She's not dying.
Wow.
You know, she'll be okay. And then we had a whole chat about that. And, you know, mom was basically saying to me, don't go out and do it. But she said, don't ever, ever be afraid to tell me anything. And that was just a lovely conversation to have as a 16-year-old with my mother. And I never was afraid to tell her anything then either. Just, she passed away 4 years later, which is terrible. Mm. There's loads of things I would have loved to have told her and asked her, but didn't get a chance to.
Isn't that so lovely that you had such an incredible relationship with her? And obviously, she sounds, from the sounds of it, she gave you a lot of freedom to kind of, to be yourself and discover who you are.
Yeah,
she did. To talk to you about anything. So when it came to talking about, like, you know, sensitive things like periods and sex and all those sort of things, could you openly talk to your mum about that? Did she give you the birds and bees chat?
Completely did. And it was all very, I mean, like, you know, the period thing is like a 5 minute chat, because, you know, I think most people already know it. I knew at 9 or 10. So, but I think mom had the conversation with me at 11. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was a very quick chat. And I never remember feeling awkward or anything like that. Now, obviously, if dad had that with me, I would have been like, But with mom, it was just easy.
So getting your period, was that something that you really wanted or you dreaded?
No, really wanted. Mm. Really wanted.
Do you remember where you were the very first time it arrived?
Yeah, home. And 12 and a half, was at the kind of end of first year. Mm. Was just delighted with life. And straight away ran down and told my mom. It was like the best news ever.
And what was her reaction?
Oh, she gave me a big hug and, you know.
You're a woman now.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I don't think she said that to me, but she, you know, she just gave me a hug and that was, it was all nice.
What was your sex education like in school? Did they teach you much?
There was none in secondary school, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't remember any in secondary school. Like, there was lots in science, you know, we did biology, there was a lot there. But primary school, sixth class, there was a lot in my school.
And just the basics now, or
it was all very much about where babies come from. Mm. You know, it was all that, all about periods. So again, I'd already had this chat, already knew. It was all about hygiene, which, you know, was very important in those areas.
Yeah.
There was nothing about like oral sex or anything like that, but it was about how intimate it is. And it was, there was definitely a conversation about how it is a lovely thing to do. It wasn't anything about, you know, and it was a Catholic primary school. It was sixth class. And we all got a little book going home. So I'm not sure there was any need for one in secondary school. I never got one in secondary school, no.
Because it's just a subject that I'm really interested in now, considering the generation of the internet and the access to information that, you know, kids have today. So, you know, the education that we got back in the day was, you know, the basics and very minimal, and just in the difference in comparison to this generation and what they have to learn and what they're exposed to is just unbelievable. So was the subject of sex something that interested you or fascinated you, or no interest whatsoever? It makes a baby, that's it.
No, I definitely would have had an interest in it, but I would have known that I wasn't ready to go there.
Okay.
And, you know, I remember one friend who was the first in the group, and I definitely had the most amount of questions for her, like the most amount of questions. But it, I knew when I wasn't ready, as opposed to when I was ready. I always knew when I wasn't ready for it. And again, there was no pressure from anyone. I didn't feel any pressure from friends. I never felt any pressure from guys, luckily enough. And I think that's possibly changed now. I'm so scared of that world. And I have a son who's nearly 12, you know, so and I'm trying to replicate the same relationship that I had with my mom, that he'd tell me anything. And the whole thing, as I've said to him from when he's very small, is I can fix everything. You know, I probably can't fix everything, but, you know, if I let him believe that, I can fix absolutely anything. So no matter how bad something is, I can generally fix it. That's kind of become a joke between us now.
I love that. Yeah. So as a parent now to Dara, who's, you know, literally about to go into his teenage years in the coming 12 months, how does that make you feel about the prospect of him becoming a teen?
Well, he's a very grounded young man. He's very respectful of everyone. He has no social media, never has. He has no iPhone.
Wow. Okay. How did you manage that?
And everyone asked me, how did I manage that? And the thing is, he doesn't need one. Like, it's, I've said no, because what need does he have for an iPhone?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Does he get pressure from his friends then? No, from being left out?
Like, he has a laptop. So I'm saying, you know, he has a laptop which he uses. I mean, primary school, you have projects now and they have to be typed up. And after fourth class, I said, feck that, if I'm typing that up again, yeah. I'm not doing that. So he got a laptop last Christmas, a little MacBook that he loves. He does some schoolwork on. He also loves to watch Netflix. He, you know, when we're on a flight, so he can watch on that. But he has no need for an iPhone right now in his life. He is in school all day. He has loads of homework to do when he gets home. He has two little sisters he hasn't seen all day. He has me, who he hasn't seen all day, to talk to. He has GAA training twice a week. He has soccer training twice a week. He has about 3 matches a week. And he has friends. So, you know, what need does he have to be sitting with his head in a phone? He has very little free time. So when he has free time, I'd like him to be just present. So
when we had little or no technology back in the day, were you one of those kids who ran out the back door in the morning time, said, see you, Mom, see you, Dad, quite played gone all day, and then literally came home and he went, dinner, and you came back in.
And that was
a childhood thing, you remember.
That is my teenage years. You know, the teenage summer where it was meet you at 2 o'clock at the bump. So we had friends from a place that was not right beside us, so we would walk halfway and there was this wall with a bump in it, so we'd say meet you at 2 o'clock at the bump, and that was the only thing you needed was a watch. I mean, that was it. And we would walk to the bump, meet the other girls, and we'd either go to where they lived or we'd go to where we lived and go back at 5:30 for dinner,
and just kept ourselves busy
walking around, going to the shops, penny sweets, summer nights were a bag of chips up in, you know, the local chipper. It was all just, and it sounds all sweet and innocent, and it kind of was, but not that innocent either. You know what I mean? There was obviously a bit of boldness, but it just was. And, you know, I think teens now are missing out on that. They're mm-hmm. actually are missing out.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. You mentioned sweets.
Sweets.
Oh, retro sweets. Yeah. When you think back to all those days of tenpenny bags and the whole lot, what are the ones that stick out in your head that you remember?
Well, my mom was, I mentioned already, she was a bit strict. So she was definitely strict on treats, big time strict on treats. She was also a bit, you know, watch your figure, watch your weight. She was a bit of one of those now mm-hmm. as well. And but so when I got my own money, I used to spend a lot of it on treats. Mm-hmm. So I used to buy a box of Smarties.
Oh, shocking. Yes.
Oh, shocking. And I used to hide them under my pillow. So I'd like pop into the house and take like a massive Yeah.
And have your little secret stash of Smarties. Secret stash.
Because I actually worked 2 evenings a week from the time I was 12. It sounds now like my son thinks I sound like something from Oliver.
Yeah, but, from 12. Yeah. What are you doing?
So my friend's dad had a milk round for Avonmore. And we used to collect the milk money on Thursdays and Friday nights in Sutton and Howth. Even when I was in school. So Thursdays and Fridays, I'd leave my house about 5. And we would go out to Howth and I would just run in. So I was really good with money then, you know, because I'd have to make up the change. You know, I'd go in with a little docket and I had a little satchel with cash on me and, you know, milk money.
That was brilliant because that was back in the days of when we did so much maths in school all day, every day, that our calculations for the way we could calculate money was just so rapid now. I have to do everything on my calculator on my phone. I can't do anything anymore.
Me neither.
So how much money did you get paid for doing that
I
job?
Got a fiver, £5. So it's £2.50 a night, £5 on a Friday. And also Jimmy always goes a bag of chips as well on the way home. That was bonus. So,
you're a wise working woman. That's amazing to have that sort of income. So you'd spend it on sweets and what else?
That was kind of it. Like
magazines, were you into those?
I was into, I loved Smash Hits. Okay. Absolutely loved Smash
Amazing
Hits.
It was stickers.
A little bit pricey. I mean, the one thing I remember, which I was so happy about, was the Take That Scratch and Sniff poster. It was the best. And you
How
didn't
do
know,
I not remember this? You, rewind. Tell me about this.
So Take That had...
what's it spell
peak,
of?
Peak Take That. This is the thing. They didn't tell you what it was going to smell like. And you didn't know which Take That member you were going to get. Because it was like folded inside. So anyway, I bought that. And it was pretty pricey. I mean, it could have been £2. Now you'd get a mag for that. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So it was pretty pricey. And I got Mark Owen. I was delighted.
Back Holy
on Mark
Grail.
Owen. Yeah, he was the one. And there was a little kind of film over where you had to scratch and it was his feet. So he scratched his feet and sniffed and it was supposed to smell exactly like his feet, but it smelled like smelly feet or smelly socks.
Oh,
so it was kind of
no.
like a cheesy smell. I was like, this is exactly how Mark Owen's feet smell. That was amazing. And so that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Oh, it was great. That was a big one. And I used to love getting the song lyrics and learning them because he didn't have, you know, didn't have the internet, just look up and go, what word is she saying there? You know?
Yes.
So
I print them out in the posters. What was your bedroom like?
So I shared a bedroom with my older sister Olga. So there was no posters allowed. So she
what?
Wouldn't no posters allowed. So posters were allowed inside my wardrobe doors. So I had 4 doors that you would open those up and there would have been Man United. Like loads of Take That. And that was kind of it. And then a lot of the Dublin GA footballers I liked.
Really?
Yeah, I know. And like, you have to remember, they were black and white from the Herald. Like,
oh,
they would, because they wouldn't have actually had the glossy photos. Like, the GAA didn't have glossy photos.
I was trying to imagine, where did you get them from?
Yeah, the Herald.
Oh, classic parade. Oh, my God.
I had a big picture of Jason Sherlock on my locker in school. So like other people would have had.
Yeah, well, he was a babe now. He was, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, that was, yeah.
What else was in your wardrobe? What, can you remember any distinguishing, like really, you know, high fashion 90s things that were your favourite things to wear?
So my mom wouldn't have gone down the road of getting me branded stuff. Never, no. Just wouldn't. It was just too expensive and ridiculous was kind of her motto. But I did, once she did buy me a Pepe t-shirt.
Ooh.
Oh my God. I thought like this was the best Kim Kardashian sort of thing. My moment, white t-shirt with Pepe going across in blue. And I wore it to death. So I loved that. But it was all, you know, it was jeans and runners. Mm. It was baggy jeans. I also had a two-tone jeans. I got wine jeans when they were out one Christmas.
What do you remember of 90s teenage shoes?
Big, massive, blocky heels.
Mm-hmm.
And I blame E17 for this. E17 liked girls with tiny feet, apparently.
What?
Yeah, this was the thing. So when my feet were growing, I was like, oh no, I don't have big monster feet. As if like I cared if I bumped into Toni Mortimer or Brian Harvey. But
wow.
Yeah. So I remember one Christmas definitely squishing my feet into a 4 when I was actually a 5.
So you were trying to do like a concubine thing and binding your feet so they'll fit into the buffalo shoes.
They're totally fine. No, they're really comfy. They're really, really comfy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Tell me about some of these photographs that you have here in front of you.
So my
posted a photo the other day on your Instagram story, and it was you and
the
Glitterball Trophy.
Me and the Glitterball Trophy.
And your principal.
My old principal, he was not my principal then.
He's the principal now.
He's the principal now, but he was my business studies teacher from first year right the way up to sixth year. And he is the loveliest man, Mr. Barry, and also there's Mr. Barry. This is me and my Debs. He's now the principal. I just loved them. And Mr. Kialik.
I wouldn't recognize you.
Would you not?
When I look at this photo.
Really?
I feel like when I think of you now, I think that you have, it's almost like this happens in your teenage years. The shape of your face and everything changes. And you have a really well-balanced facial structure, great teeth. And
Do you recognize me from like that?
I know. Oh my God, look at you.
That's my gym uniform. Yeah.
Gym uniform. So this was your uniform, green for school. You see, always said, look at your hair there. Actually, it's so voluminous. And you're so slim and tall. Did you ever put on weight?
I've only put on weight, first time I put on weight would have been after my mom died. Mm. And that was, you know, I didn't realize I'd put on weight, but I just completely ate my feelings that summer. I actually got really, really sick that summer and ended up in Beaumont Hospital for a week and had to have my tonsils removed and other blah. But I lost all the weight then because I couldn't eat.
So. Yeah. Perfect remedy.
So I came out of that slim again. And then in my 20s, I definitely did put on, my weight went up and down. And then I found out why. I have an underactive thyroid gland, so I have to mind my weight.
Right.
Otherwise, I can put on weight really, really quickly now.
Interesting. When you look back now on this teenage you, and you know, it's brought all those kind of feelings back. I was thinking about this. If you were to imagine, go back to you, say, you know, before you blossomed into a swan.
Okay.
Say 13, 14 year old you. And let's just say you went into, I don't know, like an antique shop or something, and you found a crystal ball and you were to look into it. And if we were to show that early teen you doing your final dance in Dancing with the Stars, and to watch that performance and to see you as you are now and gliding around the dance floor, how do you think she would feel? Would she believe it?
She definitely wouldn't believe it. No, she wouldn't believe it. She definitely wouldn't believe that. No. And the sad thing about that is, although I had this inner confidence, I was definitely very quiet. And my mom died thinking that I was very quiet. And I hope Mairead's going to be okay. Isn't that mad?
Wow. Yeah. How do you know that? What, like, as in?
Mom wrote a diary in her final months of all her thoughts and sometimes just even a story of something that might have happened to her when she was younger, or a relationship with her dad. She loved her dad, but she knew she was never going to marry anyone like her dad. And so it's just a hardback notebook. But she died thinking, I hope Mairead's going to be okay, because she's so quiet.
Wow.
But I am quiet until I'm not quiet.
I would consider you, to be a very confident person. You're a lovely balanced person.
Yeah.
That would be my judgment of you. You're very balanced in all aspects of your life. And that's isn't that the goal? Come on.
Well, it is. But, you know, I'm very mature now. I'm, you know, 39 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm, you know, for someone of my age, I've gone through a lot. Like even by the age of 30, you know. Mm. Losing my mom as young as I did. I had a lovely career in Today FM working on the biggest shows that everyone was listening to. I got to go and see great places with that. I got married very young. I had a son very young. I got separated very young and subsequently divorced. So I have a lot of life experiences. So my balance now comes from all of those things. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's made you who you are.
It has. It definitely has made me who I am. And I'm, without being, you know, people say I'm a very positive person. I'm very positive. But I am a very positive person. Without saying, you know, I want to go off and buy a cloud, you know, I generally will try and see the good in every situation, even if it's quite awful, you know. So, yeah, but that's definitely come from all those years. And I'm very lucky, like I said, like I have the same girlfriends and and another close friend I met when I worked part time in Arnott's at 17, you know. So Linda and those girls there in those photos are my close friends.
And their support system.
Yeah, and they've always been in my life, you know. They're just amazing. So I'm very, very lucky.
So tell me finally, if you could go back and talk to teenage Mairead, what would you say?
I'm saying this to myself a lot in the last few months, but I will say it to my teenage self. Back yourself and you can do the things that you want to do and probably more. And everything's going to be okay.
Love it. Now, guests who participate in this podcast get a treat.
Oh,
this is going to be a sound nightmare now for Shane, but I have satisfied all your childhood teenage dreams. You get one of Jules's giant 10-penny bags.
Oh my goodness, this is incredible. I cannot believe the Flog Dolphin is there.
Flog Dolphin, Dip Dab. There is Chewits and a Stinger bar. There's little white chocolate fish and chips, fizzy colas, giant cola bottles, golf balls, everything.
Milk teeth.
There's so many things that they still make.
Oh my God. Sorry, Shane. I love this. And it smells so good. We used to go to one shop in, you have to cross the border from Finglas to Glasnevin, to go and get lots of these sweets, and the shop is still there now. This is amazing.
Yeah. Well, now there's enough sugar in there to last until Christmas.
Yeah,
just
right.
Spread it all out.
I'm not dancing anymore, Jules. God, what am I doing?
Well, Mairead, thank you so much for being part of this podcast. You've been an incredible guest, and for revisiting your teenage years.
Thanks for having me.
So if you'd like to see those teenage photos of Mairead with frizzy hair and then blossoming into a blonde bombshell, then have a look at the highlights on my Instagram page. Just follow me at JulesCullPics. And now let me personally say that if you have clicked on the subscribe button to this podcast, I have word from our president, Michael D. Higgins, that you are officially one of the biggest rides in the country. Thank you for your support. Once you've clicked subscribe, then you'll be the first to know as soon as new episodes of the podcast are out. And if the Cringe Binge podcast is making you think about your teenage years and diaries that you wrote, then I'd love to hear from you. I'm going to be reading listeners' diaries in future episodes, so if you'd like to share your diary, either publicly or anonymously, then get in touch. You can take photos of the pages and send them to me, or type them up, or record them as an audio note. All the details are on my website. Just visit cringebingepodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and please tell all your mates about this podcast. I really appreciate your support. I'm your host, Jules Call, and this is the Cringe Binge Podcast, brought to you by Acast, home of the world's best podcasts. The interview part of this podcast was recorded in Collaboration Studios.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.